Earners, what's up? Y'all know the adage, buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/earn. That's fundrise.com/earn. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Earners, what's up? Look, if creating content is more than just a passion project for you, it's time to make the passion profitable. With Kajabi, you can easily diversify your revenue, build your brand, and transform your audience into loyal customers. I know firsthand how challenging it can be to juggle content creation and business development, but Kajabi makes it easy to streamline everything in one place. As a creator, you are your brand, so your business should reflect exactly what you envision. With Kajabi, not only can you build your business your way, but you can also keep every cent of what you earn. It's an all-in-one platform that lets you focus on what matters most, your content and your audience. And let's face it, we all need a little help sometimes, especially when you're a one-person show. But you don't need to hire a full-time team. You just need Kajabi. Kajabi is a leading all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. Whether you're a coach, content creator, or educator, Kajabi makes it easy to transform your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, and more. The best part? Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue. Everything you create is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. On top of that, Kajabi gives you robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, everything you need to grow your business seamlessly. And here's the thing, you don't need a massive audience to make sustainable income. Thousands of creators are making six and seven figures with Kajabi, even with less than 50,000 followers. So if you're navigating the challenges of generating revenue as a creator, Kajabi can be the game changer you need. Right now, Kajabi is offering an incredible deal, a free 30-day trial to help you kickstart your business. Just head over to kajabi.com/earn to get started. That's kajabi.com/earn. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who've made over $7 billion on their platforms and take control of your financial future with Kajabi today. Kajabi.com/earn. Don't miss out on this opportunity to turn your passion into profit.
When I started raising money, I was doing everything wrong. Like one of the first rules that I say in my book, fundraising, is don't say you're fundraising. Because the second you say that you're fundraising, you're on the clock. Meaning people are going to be like, all right, well, his round should blow up and be over soon because if this is a hot company, I'm going to have a limited window. So if in 2 weeks your round isn't done, people are going to be like, why aren't others investing? And so they're going to walk away. And if you build up a bunch of no's around your company, people are not investing, then that's, you know, the network becomes aware that all these people didn't invest. And you're kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the first lessons that I learned from a great mentor of mine, his name is Michael Carter. He has this company, Playco, a very successful gaming company. He was giving some talks on fundraising, and he taught me this concept, just don't say you're fundraising. Just go build relationships first. Go and meet investors and get them excited about who you are as a person. And casually get them excited about your idea. Mm-hmm. Instead of going and saying, I'm pitching you, which automatically puts them on a pedestal versus you, right? You're not peers anymore. Now they're on a pedestal. And so it sets the dynamics incorrectly from the beginning. You're not building a relationship, and you can get this domino effect of no's which could really screw you before you even begin. So I did that in the beginning. I learned from those mistakes. I had some great mentors who helped me reshape my fundraising strategy.
So you said something that I heard you say, where you said, if you want money, ask for advice. If you want advice, ask for money.
Yep.
That's how I said it correctly?
Yeah.
So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, it's a pretty common adage in Silicon Valley. And so I certainly didn't invent that. But if you go to someone and you say, hey, I want, you know, to pitch you for funding, they're most likely going to give you advice. It's going to say, hey, you know, I'm not able to fund you right now, but how about I give you some advice? Whereas if you go to them and you show a genuine interest in their advice, but also potentially even more importantly, you really impress the shit out of them with who you are, and that person has money or is an investor, they're going to organically want to invest in you.
So let's say I have a company and I'm trying to raise money. I know a very wealthy guy. Instead of saying, hey, do you want to, you know, hear my pitch to give me money to for my startup? It would say, you know, I have this idea, and I really respect your opinion. Would you want to just hear about it just to kind of give me some feedback on it?
Exactly.
And you just do a really great job presenting it. And then they're like, damn, I got to be involved in this situation. But you're not, you don't look like you're so eager to just only get their money. You really genuinely want their advice. But then by you not wanting to take their money, they want to give you money even more.
Exactly. This approach is a win-win. Makes it more comfortable for them, right? Because they don't like saying no to you. It makes it more comfortable for you. Because if you're doing a good job, they're going to want to invest. If you're talking to an investor whose job it is to invest, who invests, they need you just as much as you need them. So if you're sitting in front of them and they're like, oh shit, this dude is going to fucking kill it, they will proactively say, how can I get involved? And they're going to be just as likely, if not more likely, than if you came to them explicitly trying to pitch.
How intentional are you about it? Before you even go to get the advice, are you strategically targeting the people that you want to get the advice from? Like, is there a list? And it's like, if I can meet or get in front of this 10 or 20 people this month, that's my target. Like, how did you go about it?
Well, in the beginning, you know, beggars can't be choosers, right? And so you kind of will try to get meetings with anyone who has money, right? I mean, now you could be, as you go later stage, you could be a little more picky. And you should be picky. I mean, you should try to avoid putting sharks on your cap table who are at odds with you or who are very short-termistic and they're going to create issues for you. You should avoid those to the maximum extent possible. But, you know, what I would do is I would try to build my network in a very strategic way. So I would host like happy hours or dinners. I do this on a college budget. I mean, I spent minimal money on it. It's like a couple $100 that I'd throw together. After a few, this VC would sponsor them. So they'd throw down $300-$400 on these dinners, right? And be at my place or, you know, I didn't spend a lot of money. And so I was building network. So first step is build network of people who have interconnectivity to investors and play the long game, build a relationship with these folks. Casually make sure all these people in your network are impressed by you, right? Casually. And then at some point you can make the ask. Or you can say, hey, I know this person invested in your company. I think they have this relevant experience to what I'm doing. Do you mind making the intro? And so you do that with, you know, all founder friends, people who raised money before. You're trying to build this network to cultivate and then eventually make the ask for the introductions. And, you know, you're just doing this on repeat as much as possible.
So you said something also where it's like you always want to avoid trying to get a no.
Yes. You never want to get a no. This is a little bit of the opposite advice that some would give you. Oh, you want to get to know quickly.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
99 no's.
Because I come from sales, so that's what I heard all the time was like, a no is always is one step quicker to a yes, or get to the no early, or stuff like. But so that's interesting.
It even feels contradictory. It's like, because you go, this is trial, right? Like you're saying this because you've got no's.
Yeah, exactly. No's spread. So, you know, investor community or the community you're raising within is small, and so you don't want somebody to go to someone you just pitched and that person say, be like, I passed. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you follow this strategy, you may have had a meeting with that person. It may not have went well. So they may not have invested, but you were never pitching them. So they don't have the ability to say, I passed, because you never went to them officially asking them for money.
No, it actually makes a lot of sense psychologically, because like you said, it becomes a virus. Once one person says no and then another person asks this person, even if they want to say yes, it's like, well, why'd you say no, right? Bingo. And then it's like, I don't want to be the person that says yes and be an idiot when my friend, who I have a high level of respect for, said no. So I'm more likely to lean towards the no, because that's just where the crowd is going.
Exactly. And so what you're trying to create is a crowd momentum behind you. The hardest one to get to fall is the first one. And you have to get this person to fall just through your character and your pitch and this strategy that I'm outlining. And then that one will hopefully turn to two or three. Once you have like three people is the magic number, where three people have now casually, without you saying you're fundraising, have told you they want to get behind you. Now you can start a fundraising round with the wind at your back. Because you could say, the way I like to sequence it generally is, even when these people say, I want to back you, I won't say, okay, how much? Here's the docs. You want to then take a step back once again and say, okay, I'm honored. I'd love to work with you. Let's do another meeting. I'd love to get your advice on these other things. I'd love to learn how you work with founders. I'd love to, you know, have this discussion on what working together would look like. I ask for references. Say, hey, can I speak to a couple other founders you've worked with? So, you know, when someone expresses interest, you don't...
just automatically jump and say, hey.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that probably feels like the biggest mistake that most people make, because you're in so much not desperate need, but you're in need of the funds. And so once you feel an inkling of somebody who's interested, it's like, I got to jump.
Become desperate.
Yeah.
You can't show the desperation, even if you are.
Yeah.
I've been desperate many times in my career, even beyond just our seed round.
Yeah.
But you can never show it, because this is what investors are. Their job is to sniff out desperation. Right? They're experts at this.
So they can get the best deal possible.
Exactly. So no matter what desperate situation you're in, I mean, you've got to come in with confidence. It's as simple as that. I mean, most people won't give this advice, but I mean, it's just the truth.
Yeah.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.